choices, new players, new models of care. You know consumer-first healthcare is everywhere. For us to build the future, to see what's new, we gotta look at the world from a different point of view. Consumer innovation ain't going away. I say it's here to stay. Today it leads the way. We gotta drop the silos. We're all the same team. Experience, business, tech, and marketing. So join us now. Join the revolution. Consumer first health is the evolution. Status quo or like status no. Yeah, this is the healthcare rap. Yo, come on, let's go.
Welcome back to the leading podcast about consumer innovation. I'm Jared Johnson, and here's what's going to go down today. We have the flavor of the week about the theme from this year's HIMSS conference. What does tomorrow's health look like, and how do we create it with partnerships and ecosystems? I'll talk about that. Then we're honored to welcome Payman Farazi, president of Signify Health. It's been about a year since CVS completed its acquisition of Signify Health, and you'll hear how the acquisition is helping more consumers receive care in a consumer-centric setting. We'll also talk about what Payman means by the stranger problem, and we'll hear what's needed to enable and scale quality care at home. It's time to dive right in. Are you ready? Let's go.
Flavor of the week.
Tomorrow starts with building the future of health IT. An estimated 30,000 health IT executives attended this year's HIMSS conference in Orlando. The conference theme was Creating Tomorrow's Health, which aligns quite nicely with the send-off that I give at the end of each flavor of the week, you know, where I talk about building the healthcare of tomorrow. Attending this year's conference gave me reason to consider what that means. So what is tomorrow's health and how do we create it? Here are five considerations that I heard from the exhibit hall floor. Number one, tomorrow's health is already here today. I heard this from several presenters. The technologies exist and they're already being used. The use cases are already being developed. To be sure, there are important considerations such as cybersecurity and connectivity within the walls of the hospital and within the walls of a home. So tomorrow's health does include the data and tech infrastructure that we shouldn't take for granted, meaning there's enough data storage, it runs fast enough, and there's an acceptable level of protection. It also means that we should be aware of next-gen technologies that are powering new healthcare experiences from hospital smart rooms to advanced home health platforms. Number two, tomorrow's health includes workforce solutions that use emerging tech to provide care in ways that weren't possible just a few years ago. The path forward is to increase the quality and volume of care while providing better clinician experiences so those that remain in the workforce stay in the workforce. This is not a small task by any definition, which is why so many companies are working on fixing this problem. Number three, building tomorrow's health includes more consumer-centered innovations. Here we are a couple of decades removed from digital health first entering the industry at scale. A majority of digital health solutions have focused on digitizing or improving existing clinical workflows and processes. Consumer innovation is the subset of digital health that uses human-centered design and other experience design tools, such as co-creation and jobs to be done, to design and build solutions that directly address improvements to the consumer experience. At HIMSS, this was a smaller segment of the exhibit hall floor and presentation schedule, but they were there. Number four, tomorrow's health is happening through platforms, partnerships, and ecosystems. In order for health systems to play a leading role in improving the digital experiences that lead up to and follow care, it can't come from one player. Consumer experiences involve tasks, choices, and actions that influence their healthcare choices mostly before or after being seen by a care team. That's why it takes a coordinated effort and why partnerships and ecosystems are at the center of a consumer-centered future. And number five, we'll build tomorrow's health faster and more effectively when someone takes responsibility for the consumer side of digital health. This could be a single leader in an organization raising their hand. It could be a group or task force that offers to take the lead in exploring what's possible and surveying the market. It could be a cross-functional community of evangelists and champions. Sound familiar? But one way or another, someone has to take the driver's seat and hit the gas. In the meantime, let's keep asking what tomorrow's health looks like and how to build it so that we can keep focusing on innovating on behalf of the people being served by the healthcare system. That's another way that we'll build the healthcare of tomorrow. And that's the flavor of the week.
The flow.
Okay, everyone, let's get into the flow. This is going to be a wild ride. I'm very excited for this. Please give it up for Payman Farazi. He's the president of Signify Health. We're honored to have him today. We're going to check in on a couple of things. It's been about a year since CVS completed its acquisition of Signify Health. So we want to check in on that and just hear some highlights from this first year. And we want to talk about just in general the state of health at home, kind of the general direction things are going, and how all of this impacts everyday people on their journeys to health and wellness. So we've got a lot to cover. Let's get started. Welcome, Paymon, to the Healthcare Wrap.
Super excited to be here, Jared.
Remind me, can you give me like a two-minute version of what you're all about, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So as you said, Paymon Farazi, president of Signify Health. Signify Health does nearly 3 million visits a year. We call them in-home evaluations. And I really think of it as a comprehensive view of a patient's health. And then we then use that to activate follow-on care. So think of it as we get to the home, we do a comprehensive assessment of what medications they're taking, we look at their entire family history, we talk about their entire medical history, we even apply new diagnostic tests to uncover potential new conditions that they may have developed. And then at the end, we give them a what we call a leave-behind form to say, go talk to your primary care provider, your PCP about these things. And then I'll also activate that care by scheduling follow-on appointments for them, making sure their health plan is aware of the issues, and trying to really close the loop of care for that individual. The best thing to do, which not everybody could do on this call, is like go on one of these visits. It's an incredibly rewarding experience to see the interaction with the member, which you know allows them to you know interact with a human being who cares deeply about their healthcare experience and get an assessment, perhaps even a second opinion from what they might get from their primary care provider.
Well, I love this. Let's hear more about kind of the Signify Health structure around that. Can you give us like a layperson's description of Signify Health and some of the structure around making that possible, enabling the services you just described?
Sure. I often refer to these as like the superpowers Signify Health. Like, what are we really good at? And the first thing that we're really good at is member engagement or patient engagement. We basically get lists of people that we can go talk to on behalf of our health plan clients, and then we have to schedule those appointments, which is one of the hardest things to do in healthcare is get the person to take the step to get healthier, right? To get on that journey of solving their problems. And that involves a multimodal way of engaging with members. We use outbound phone calls, text messages, emails. And one of the cooler things as the CVS Health transaction has gained steam is how can we use CVS Health's broader channels to better engage the member? So we have pharmacists scheduling the appointments now, which was a new thing for us that only happened since the deal closed. So member engagement, again, one of those superpowers. The second superpower that is often hidden is that we are a fully national at-scale home health provider. 3 million visits is a hard problem to pull off. You can think of us as an Amazon or Uber-like equivalent in terms of the complexity of the problem we're dealing with. And I often refer to it as a stranger, stranger, stranger problem. A stranger calls a stranger to convince a stranger to come into your home. And then we have to plan for all of that happening in this magical dance that fills the schedules in exactly the right way, makes the driving for the provider relatively easy, picks a time slot that the member actually wants to have the visit happen. All that is a very complicated logistics problem. And so we have developed a really robust set of applications beneath the surface that will figure out which member to call, give them time slots that are available for certain providers, and then give the provider the optimal schedule so they can visit that person on the right day. And that is a problem that we've largely solved at scale, but are getting better and better at each and every day. So that's the second superpower. The third one, I'll kind of land on those three, is the clinical accuracy, the value of the visit itself in terms of its value to the member, the value to the health plan. We have a team of people dedicated to building what I often refer to as a mini EMR. So we have a purpose-built workflow tool that drives all of our in-home visits. And that purpose-built tool is designed to maximize the member experience, make sure the provider can get through the visit as efficiently as possible, but also make sure that they're asking all the right questions. And that is an application that is really hard to build and really is at the core of the entire experience in the home. Those three things are largely what drives sort of the engine of Signify Health. There's other things too, but those are probably the big three.
Well, no, you're painting a picture here that helps me understand, because a lot of times the piece that's missing in the conversation nationally when talking about any kind of healthcare innovation, especially consumer-centered innovation, is, well, wait, how does this actually impact the care that an everyday person is receiving? All of those steps that it takes to lead up to it. And I love how you're describing it, a stranger, inviting a stranger to come into their home, because that's the reality. That's how likely the person who's being seen feels about it all. And so I love having that perspective into it. And that does help us understand when we talk about things like the CVS Health acquisition here, because it's been about a year, you know, there'll be a slight delay between the time we record this and the time we release this episode, but it's been about a year roughly since CVS Health completed its acquisition of Signify Health. And I wonder if you can just give us some highlights from the past year, just things that have been super cool to experience and see as a result of the transaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge win, honestly, for us, like helped accelerate things that we were worried about and investing in. And I would say, like, credit to CVS Health and the leadership team, like buying the company and then also saying, what other investments do you need to accelerate the problems you're facing? So of those pillars I mentioned, right, like they spent a lot of money helping us get better at member engagement. They spent a lot of money in helping us get better at logistics so that we could take that next step up in our journey. And so some concrete examples of that are largely around the member experience, like back to how we schedule the appointments, right? We're trying to get it to not be a stranger calling a stranger, but to have it be somebody you already know, like using an existing relationship to help activate that step to get you to do this home assessment, which is in your best interest as you plan out your healthcare future, your health future. And so activating the CVS pharmacy channel, activating the MinuteClinic channel, those have been significant wins. The third thing that we've really focused on, and we're trying to do this with all of our health plan partners, is when a phone call is inbound to an Aetna, because members are calling them all the time to ask them questions, use that as an activation point, because you're already calling in and you're already asking questions, you're already caring about your healthcare journey. How can we use that to schedule the appointment? So all of that is all designed to get rid of the stranger problem and reduce the abrasion on the member as we try to get them to activate that next step. And then the second big thing that I would, again, say this is something we're trying to work on with all of our health plan partners is, now that we've seen you in the home and we know that something is going on with you, like 20% of the visits result in a referral. Sometimes there's an acute referral. I've actually done ride-alongs where that's happened and activated an acute referral in that moment, like calling 911 on behalf of the member because they're dealing with a very significant issue. But like for the 20%, like there's a conversation you need to have around whether or not your meds are at the right level, or there's a potential conflict occurring between prescriptions that you have. And then oftentimes those people do not have primary care providers. And so we have a motion where we'll call them afterwards and schedule an appointment with the primary care provider so they can go be seen and take action on the next step. And what we've done with our friends at Oak Street is we now like refer them to Oak Street, where the health plan gives us the ability to do that. And then we're striking up deals with other health plan partners with Humana, for example, having those kinds of conversations and basically saying, well, how can we activate that next step for you, for your members, in the way that fits with your strategy? But at the core of that is helping the member take the next step, not just leaving the home, giving them a piece of paper and saying, you know, please take care of this yourself, but actually calling them again and saying, how do we help you again get to close that loop and address the issues that we've identified?
Oh, that's really cool. So it sounds like the acquisition itself did enable like some upgrades, if you will, and some of the things that Signify Health was already doing at a very high level. What about on the individual level? You know, I'm trying to think of like some more detailed examples of somebody who's experiencing care. It's fascinating to hear, honestly, that, you know, there's an acute referral needed, for instance, during a visit, when those kinds of things are pretty easy to highlight the impact that a home visit's having. What I'm curious about is how familiar and comfortable are people at the end of the day still having more care come to them in their homes? On the surface, I've shared on numerous occasions, it always feels like if somebody prefers, like if you ask them, I mean, how many times do we even get asked? But if you ask somebody, would you rather be cared for at home or in a hospital or a doctor's office? Most people, it seems like, would say, I'd rather not go anywhere. I'd rather be cared for in my home. But then that does bring up, that's just not necessarily a familiar thing or experience to a lot of people. So like, is there, I would guess, as these services are scaled more, that people gradually become more familiar and comfortable with people coming into their home, and that often would have some kind of net result on their health and wellness. See, I don't have data on that, but I'm wondering, is it becoming more familiar and comfortable to people to be cared for in their homes?
Yes. And I would say, like, you're exactly right. Like, the general trend in healthcare has been, I would rather receive care in my home, right? So the question is, how can we as an industry then meet them where they are and find a way to economically deliver that care in the home and deliver the same level of services that they would expect outside of the home? But I would also say too, that like, while it's growing as a segment of people who want that, there's still people who don't. I mean, we one of my main sort of like tenets in life is customer obsession. Like, how much time do I spend with our health plan partners, our members, our patients, our clinicians in the field, like all those people, to truly get an understanding of what they're going through and what they care about and what the detractors are and how can we get better is basically my goal. And so we've done like deep dive studies on our members. In fact, we do NPS surveys now after every visit that we do to try to understand like, did the visit go well or not? And I would say like one of our key findings is, there's definitely a segment of people who want you in the home, and there's another segment of people who don't. And so like, and we're not going to try to force our way into people's homes if they don't want it. But then, you know, when we do have the chance, educate them on why it's valuable and the steps we take to make sure that the clinical community passes a very high standard in terms of what they're doing in the home and that they're behaving in all the right ways. And that way it's something that gives them more comfort. And the last thing I'll say too on this subject is, when they do let us in our home, our NPS is phenomenal. Our NPS is, we last measured it to year to date, it's 74, which is very, very high and higher. And like, that's like true NPS, like 8 and above only, everything below 8 is a detractor on a 1 to 10 score, which is really world-class across multiple industries. And again, a testament to like, once you get past this hurdle of the trust factor, and do I really want to do this? And is it as valuable as the visit as I'm getting in an office setting? And you realize, oh my God, it is. They want us to come back and the experience is very high. And that has a halo effect on all the other services they're buying from health plans or from providers and so on.
Fascinating. And yeah, that NPS score is very impressive. That tells a lot. It always tells a story. You mentioned some platforms or technologies that help enable a high level of quality care at home. What can you tell us about those technologies? Can we dig into that a little bit more in terms of like what's needed to make this possible? Because you helped open my eyes to several of the moving targets, like the variables that are happening all the time.
Sure. There's a lot, but I'll try to focus on really two areas. One is that mini EMR I mentioned. And then the second will be the testing that we do in the home, because the testing is really a really cool thread to follow on. And I think it's like kind of where the future of healthcare is going. For the mini EMR, think of it as, in order to have a well-articulated visit, the data on you has to be in that form, right? We have to know kind of the starting point of, well, what are your conditions and what meds are you taking and what is your family history, so that we can facilitate a conversation around, has that changed? Like, what has gotten worse? And really try to spend most of our time on where things are going, not where things were. And so we spent a tremendous amount of energy finding the data from the health plans, from providers, integrating into our systems, making sure it's pre-populated in the form, so that when the clinician gets there and has the visit, they are already educated and ready on this person's background and able to have a more robust sort of forward-thinking conversation. So that's one big thread. And I cannot stress enough like how hard that problem is. And I would land too, and like we've done, we're about to do a white paper with KLAS, KLAS, on the integration that we did with Humana. I won't, you know, to steal too much of its thunder, but like, it's really a real-time data flow conversation. It's an interoperability win, all towards getting that data front and center in front of the clinician's face before they even see the member. And then on diagnostic and preventative services, or DPS, so the diagnostic test that we do at home, again, this is like, to me, the bleeding edge of healthcare. Here's one example. And I actually did this test once in a doctor's office to see what the difference was. We rolled out something called spirometry testing, right? Which tests whether or not you have COPD. It, again, very a disease that's relatively pervasive. You need to catch early, to treat it aggressively. And so we're doing these tests in the home now. If you go to a doctor's office, there is a spirometry device that probably fills the room I'm in. So it fills the size of a medical office. It's huge. And then there's a specialist that has to administer that test. And then after about 15 to 20 minutes, they will tell you, yeah, you're good, or you have COPD, you should have a follow-on appointment. Well, now we have a device through our partners that fits the palm of your hand and can be administered by an NP or an MD in the home. And the medical efficacy of this is quite high. And so once a device gets to that point where it can fit into the palm of a person's hand, we integrate it into our mini EMR, we apply these tests in people's homes, and all of a sudden we can start telling you, you might have COPD, and make sure that that person again gets the follow-on care that they need. And now think of that across multiple other possible diagnostic settings where you can take it to them rather than having to go through this rather expensive setting to get the test done.
That's incredible. It is, especially how mobile and how capable that is now. You're right, that really is a bleeding edge of things.
Yeah, these device manufacturers are getting quite clever. Like, they're just shrinking devices more and more and more. And it's fascinating to see, like, this whole trend on do it at home, maybe we'll call it that, or do it yourself, is going to grow more over time, in my view, as there's multiple companies out there, and several of them, again, are our partners, trying to solve, like, how do I do this in a way that is perhaps more effective? I will say, like, I somewhat empathize with this in the sense, like, I have little kids. And there's, if you have little kids, you know, how many times you take them in for ear checks, like, there's constantly looking for that. There are people working on that problem too. Like, how do you make an otoscope super affordable to people so they can check their kids' ears more regularly and avoid sort of like the back and forth of going into an office? We're trying to solve that for America's seniors, but also other segments as well as it relates to commercial and Medicaid, and those populations are growing for us.
Fantastic. What if we do keep looking ahead a little bit? What can you tell us about, like, where you're focusing for, say, like, the next 6 to 12 months, like where either Signify Health is or you personally?
Sure. I can have you talk about myself too, Jared. Maybe the upcoming trips I've got. No, but in all seriousness, around Signify Health, it's really simple for us. It is doing more in the home, right, is a big area of focus. Serving more members, right, is the other big area of focus. So I'll actually take those in reverse order. We have historically done most of our in-home visits for people under Medicare Advantage health plans. So again, America's seniors, as I kind of referred to them earlier, but we are seeing increasing demand from health plan partners to fund these visits for Medicaid patients, as well as Affordable Care Act, or what I refer to as commercial patients or commercial members. And that changes the problem a bit, right? Like, what works for a person who's 65 and older will not work for somebody who's 32. And so that's causing us to shift and invest in different ways in which how to engage those communities and do the same thing I was mentioning before, solve that stranger problem. So that's one big area of focus. And the second, again, is doing more in the home. And so there's a couple things that we're working on there. One is expansion of diagnostics. How many more tests can we do in the home to, again, help you diagnose diseases as early as possible so that you can get treatment? But then the second is, can we do something in the home that is just related to a particular condition? Like, can we actually perform the intervention? And so this year, we're going to roll out what we've been calling like standalone visits, but you can think of them as specialized visits. And we all know that diabetes is a big problem in America. And so we're focused on diabetes first to say, can we do something in that specific disease category where we can visit a member to help them identify and treat that condition only? And then if that works, then we can expand it even further. The biggest problem with any sort of home health use case or business is back to the unit economics, like how can, because it's expensive to do all the things I just described, scheduling the appointment, the provider obviously needs their time paid for, like all that sort of adds up. And so finding a way to pay for that is really the magic and something that we're exploring with several of our more forward-thinking health plan partners.
Where do you think all this gets us in terms of, I think health at home is one type of consumer-centered care. I think compared to the traditional sick care system, that health at home fills healthcare needs in a way that is more convenient and more enabling, and in some ways more dignifying than being seen in an inpatient setting in a lot of cases. And so that's kind of the premise here, right? So I would classify it as one way that happens. I feel like we are making a lot of steps. I love the innovations that you're pointing to and the partnerships that are making it happen. And I feel like that we have some momentum right now in terms of consumer-centered care. But what do you think that looks like if we look out even a little further? We were just talking about like the next 6 to 12 months, but what if we look out even further out there into the distance and say, like, what could care look like? Is it more of this? Is it more Like I said, more specialty specific visits that can occur in the home. What else might there be possible that we're not even dreaming about right now?
Sort of, if I were to paint a picture of what would make me most excited, when I think again, like, because I start with, what do the members want? What does an average human being want in terms of their healthcare journey? And they want to be sort of met where they are. They want to be met in the home setting. To your point earlier, like, I've had lots of people in my family age, and every single one of them has wanted to stay home as long as possible and get treatment in the home as long as possible. And so if we can do that, expand our services beyond just these assessments and help you figure out what you're going to do next and start to apply more care in the home directly. So like, you can think of it as like a visit every month or a visit every week, depending on the severity of your condition, how much help you need. That to me would go a long way to meeting members and what they, how they truly want to experience care. And that might not be for everybody. Again, there's always going to be some people who want to go into an office or go into the hospital, but there's a large portion of people who are asking for exactly what I've described. And if we as an industry can build that, to me, that's a future we can all get very excited about. And I would just land too on like, this too is about giving relief at some extent to the primary care providers who are, their schedules are jammed. They're basically firefighting each and every day. When someone comes in to see their primary care provider, they're presenting with an acute problem, which the primary care provider wants to deal with immediately. My goal, our goal at Signify, is to give them some relief. Like, let us do this kind of like big picture planning, engage them in ways that might manage the disease in a more proactive way while you're doing a lot of the acute firefighting that is so desperately needed. I think that's a win-win for both, you know, Signify as well as maybe the traditional primary care provider.
Yes, please. Let's do whatever it takes to get there, to that state. That is where we want to go. I don't know anyone who would disagree with that. I love that thought. And I love painting that picture, because I find that it's helpful just to have that vision and to share that and say, like, what is all this for? It's easy to lose track of that in the day-to-day firefighting, as you say. It's easy to lose track of that in the hot takes of the moment of whoever's doing whatever, you know, on Wall Street. So I thank you for that. And kind of as we kind of bring all that to a point, I'd love to hear if you had one message, if there's one thing you could share with people who are struggling to navigate the healthcare system. Maybe they don't even know what that acute need is, but they have it. You know, maybe they're not even aware, or they know they've been diagnosed, but they don't know what to do. There are so many factors that prevent people from getting the care they need. What message do you have for them?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because it is hard. I thought about this a lot too. Like, and I always think about, you know, my parents or my children. And it's really like, I would get involved. Like, I would get involved and try to help them plan that next step. So my advice would be, you know, find that person in your life who can help you do that. If you don't have that, or need that person needs help, that's where, again, and I'm not trying to sell Signify hard here, but I truly believe in the power of finding those resources that are available, a lot of them at low to no cost, that would help you plan what your healthcare strategy should be. And that is a person that steps back and says, what's going on with you holistically? And what is the next path you should take? That role is missing in a lot of people's lives. So if you can find that through your personal network, that's probably the best version. The second best version would be services like Signify, which are free to members, by the way, because health plans pay for them, and leverage those resources to help you plan, make sure that you take a step back and say, where am I in my healthcare journey and what should my next step be? So the next time I go to my doctor and we have that firefighting discussion, I'm ready to help shape the future of where this can go and make sure that I'm involved in my healthcare, what's happening with me and what meds I'm taking, so I'm the best possible path. I will say that the reason I feel so strongly about this is like, this is actually a huge private industry. Executive health resources exist out there where people spend lots of money for concierge care, where they go and do exactly what I've described. And Signify is offering a version of that at no cost to members. And it's, to me, a no-brainer to the level set and say, am I on the right path? Do I have the right plan? And go do that. So that would be my one message, is take the time out in your life to step away from the firefighting and come up with a holistic end-to-end plan for your health to make sure that you're on the right path.
I love it. Let's hope that we can get there again to this stage where that happens more frequently. I love that. It's very aware and considerate of the needs of everyone in this ecosystem, not just the consumer, not just the caregiver, not just the provider. You know, it's not just the enabler of all these services, but it's everyone involved. And that absolutely has to happen. I appreciate you making everyone aware of all of the needs of everyone in the ecosystem. It's so important to do that. All right, so last question here, Payman. If there was one thing you wished everyone could understand about health at home, what would that be?
It is, and I'm thinking of like, if I'm talking to a business audience, like a healthcare audience, I would say the logistics is way harder than you think. Like it is a much, much harder problem than people, I think, realize, as there's a lot of folks out there trying to build and scale up solutions to this problem. If I were talking to a patient, I would say, trust the system. Trust people like Signify, trust other home health providers. Know that we're doing a lot of work and that we keep our standards really high for who we're hiring and the quality of the experience. Then that should give you, and that we care very, very deeply about what that is like and that it goes well. And that should give you some comfort in letting that person into your home. But yeah, those two things, depending on who's listening.
Well, I would like to think we have both types of listeners listening. And with that, what a perfect place for us to say thank you. That's a wrap for this episode. Perfect place for us to wrap up here. I want to give you so many thanks for giving us this much to think about. These are important things to understand as we're constructing different sides of healthcare experiences here. So it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. I want to thank my guest today, Payman Farazi from Signify Health. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jared. It was a pleasure. Anytime, man.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. Tell your colleagues to tune in for all the awesomeness, then leave a review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This show is produced by Shift Forward Health, the channel for changemakers. Subscribe to Shift Forward Health on your favorite podcast app, and you'll be subscribed to our entire library of shows. See our full lineup at shiftforwardhealth.com. One subscription, all the podcasts you need, and it's all for free. And remember, we might have a lot of work to do in healthcare, but we'll get there faster together. Thanks again.